This is for Solis. It is June 13th,
12:39.
1239. And I'm contributing my story to the Creative Push Project. So it all began in November, sometime late in November. Eric and I had been trying to conceive for 6 months, and I didn't think it would ever happen. And neither did my mother, of course. She thought I should have fertility testing, which ended up being unnecessary. But so I had been using an ovulation kit. We've been very strategic about when we had sex, which was not as much fun as it might sound. And then we had to leave town. We were going to Santa Fe because I was having a solo exhibition at a gallery out there. And we were about to take a flight the next morning. And so the ovulation or the pregnancy test says to test for pregnancy with the first urination of the morning. And I happened to get out in the middle of the night because, I drank lots of fluids, I guess. And so it was about 3 a.m. and I got up, I went to the bathroom, and I overthink everything. So I thought, I should probably take the pregnancy test now. And I took it, and it said I was pregnant, and it was exhilarating. And so I climbed into bed with my husband, and I rolled over and woke him up. And he wakes up with a startle every time, so it's really funny. And told him I was pregnant. And we both were like, couldn't sleep the rest of the night. And I was laying next to him smiling, and he was laying next to me with this terrified, stricken expression on his face, like thinking, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. It was quite funny. And then, of course, I was concerned about flying and the x-ray machines and all the stuff that I hadn't thought about before. But I mean, I was barely pregnant, so it was fine. So, anyhow, we went and did that. And then the course of being pregnant began, and I pretty much knew I was pregnant after the first month. Like, I instantly started putting on weight and instantly started bloating. I gained 50 pounds over the course of the pregnancy and was miserable almost every single step of the way. And I gave birth in August, which is the hottest month in Arizona, maybe just slightly less hot than July, but really hot. And so all through the summer, I was in the pool, with my gigantic belly and my huge breasts and huge thighs, like just bobbing on the water, trying to feel weightless, because otherwise I felt like just like a massive boulder trying to move about. And so I have video of that. It's quite funny seeing this like milky white, mushroom lady floating in the water, or marshmallow person, I should say. And I was painting for a solo series at that time, so I would paint for like 15 minutes, then I'd lay on the couch for like 20 and eat popsicles and watch movies. That's pretty much how the last 3 months of my pregnancy went. And then everything seemed to be going okay. The baby really wasn't dropping. I had a really high pregnancy. The belly came right out from under my breast. It just seemed like it was choking me. It wasn't low at all. It was just felt like it was right in my face. And then, let's see, I went. I went, okay, I started to notice that when I was brushing my teeth, there would be a couple drops of water on the ground. And I wasn't spilling water. And there were these, it was about the size of a tablespoon, like a little puddle of a tablespoon of water. And it would happen quite often. And finally, I called the doctor and said, this is happening. And she said, well, why don't you go to the hospital and get the fluid tested to see if it's amniotic fluid? And so I went and did that. I went to the hospital, and that was a strange experience, walking in the hospital when you're not walking in to have your baby. And I walked into the hospital. They, took me an intake, and I was lying on a bed, and all this requires so much waiting. You wait and wait and wait. You wait for someone to come and talk to you, someone to take your name and your stats or whatever, and then you wait again for a long period of time, and then they come back. And she swabbed me, and then I waited a long time, and then she came back and said it's not amniotic fluid. And then I was free to go home, and I was so confused because I thought she said maybe I was urinating or I was, peeing myself. And I said, no, I'm sure I'm not peeing myself. Like, I was so certain that I wasn't, and I was certain that this fluid was amniotic fluid. But I mean, it's, you know, laboratory tested, so you believe the clinicians. And so we went home. And then for the next 2 or 3 days, it just kept happening, you know, and it wasn't getting that much more. It was just very consistent. And then I called my doctor again. They said, go back again and get it tested. So I went back again and they tested it, and it was amniotic fluid. And then they said, well, now that we know it's amniotic fluid and you've been dripping amniotic fluid for 3 days, you have to have an emergency induction. So it was, you know, very urgent. Everything felt very urgent and kind of stressed. And we gathered some things together, or my husband had to gather it together because I was in the hospital. And we go into, luckily I knew a nurse at the hospital and she really helped accommodate us. So my friend helped hook us up with this pretty nice room. It was a large room and it was solitary. So my husband was there, my mother was there, which was really great. And the room was dark, but I had all these fetal monitors on. So I had a strap across my belly. And of course I had the IV, and the IV took several attempts to get that in. I had valves or something, so the veins kept blowing, and that was really dreadful. They gave me the Pitocin. So then I waited, it felt like forever until I started feeling contractions. And then finally I started feeling contractions. They started rolling in one on top of the other with no break, this extreme intensity. And the only position I could cope was standing. And the only area I could stand where I could lean against something was the table. And right next to it was the fetal monitor, of course, because I was trapped, you know, with the dragging cords and machine equipment every time I moved about. So it was the corner of the room near the bathroom, and I would just hold onto the side table and rock just back and forth, and try to just cope with this like rolling pain. And my husband was behind me, and he was just kind of had his hands on my hips, and then he would leave me alone. And he knew pretty much to give me my space during that time. But then I got this like great idea to try some other things, because this was extremely painful, even though I was able to cope with it. To try the bouncing ball, you know, the nursing ball, or not the nursing ball, the, I don't know what they call it, laboring ball or something. And you sit on that and kind of rock your hips in a circular motion or something, and that's supposed to help with the process. But it was fine for me. It didn't help that much. But then all of a sudden the nurses came running in that the baby was in distress. So the baby didn't like the change in position, I guess. And so immediately they wanted me to lay on the bed. And all this happened over a course of hours, but it felt like very tight in terms of timing. So they laid me on the bed, and immediately I was like in writhing pain, like just really, truly writhing, you know, on my side in fetal position, just flexing my legs out and in and doing everything that they say not to do, tensing muscles, you know, contracting my face, everything that they say not to do. And I was in just agony, like agony. And my mother was there, and she just could barely stand to see me look like this. So then the nurse comes in and she said, I'm going to go to lunch. You know, I'll be back in an hour, whatever she said. And my mother said, can you check her dilation before you go? And so the nurse said, sure, and she didn't seem too happy about it, but she did it. And I was only at 4 centimeters. I mean, it would have been long suffering. So I was at 4 centimeters, and my mother and I looked at each other. She said, can we just get an epidural? And the woman looked at us like, really? You know, because it's not very far along to get an epidural. And we were like, yes, let's just do it. So then she, you know, of course she had to postpone her lunch, which I'm sure was not cool. She got the doctor in, who came in and did the epidural, and I'm terrified of needles, and I, in my head, all I can think about is, you know, first of all, you're having contractions while you're trying to be completely still, and they're saying, breathe out, you know, and, you know, try not to move, and so my husband was there with me, which was great, and I was leaning forward. Oh, no, he had to leave the room when I was getting my epidural. I was leaning forward, the doctor gave me the epidural, and it did not immediately make the pain go away. So you kind of felt pain. You're like, when is it going to start working? And then when it works, it's like this flood of joy comes over. I mean, I can't even describe it. It's just like someone just opens a valve of pressure, you know, and it's like, wow, I can think about other things than the pain. You know, I can think about being hungry or whatever it is, the fact that I'm going to have this baby. And so I was able to lay in the bed and relax. And my family, my mother and my husband, were able to get some napping in. And I was able to just think about it, you know, think about the fact that I'm going to have this child and, you know, all this whole process. And then not too long after, it felt like almost immediately, you know, I don't know, a couple hours, let's say, the doctor comes in and checks my dilation. And I was at full dilation so that I could go ahead and start pushing. And it was almost as though I couldn't dilate because I was in so much pain, you know, and it was keeping my uterus completely contracted and just not allowing for that relaxation, which helps allow for that dilation, the whole process to go forward. And so I was really relieved that I had gotten the epidural. In the long run, I was really happy that I did it because it was a very short time between 4 centimeters and full dilation for me to go ahead and start pushing and have the baby. So then he's like, we're ready to push. So doctor comes in and Eric is on one leg and he's holding one leg. My mother's on the other leg, holding the other leg. And I have this nurse here and she's very sweet, but she has this very therapy voice, you know, which is like, we're going to count 1, 2, 3. And I swear, it was like, I couldn't tolerate the sound of her voice. I just, something in that moment, I really just needed someone to be like, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know what I mean? It just helped me through that process. Luckily, my doctor was like a coach. I mean, he was right there. He was, had that kind of energy about him that's like, we're going to get this done. We're going to get this baby out and it's going to be healthy. And so, so I had, at that point, I had the laboring process. I'm not sure again how long it took, but it felt as though I was pushing and pushing and pushing. And because of the epidural, I knew I was pushing. I could like feel some contracting happening or some cramping happening, but I really couldn't tell if I was doing it right. And I was flooded with all this self-doubt, you know, is anything happening? Is it working? Am I pushing hard enough? Am I failing? You know, I just couldn't tell. I could tell I had all these three faces. I was looking at their faces and they were looking at my vagina, which is such a funny thing. And I could see in their faces that they weren't satisfied, you know, that it was like, is it working? And they said, well, it's just that we can tell that the baby's moving forward. But then as soon as you stop pushing, it goes back up. You know, it goes back inside. And it just kept happening again and again. It just felt like no progress. So finally the doctor looks up and he says, and he, at this point, he's been so great. He's been rubbing mineral oil. I remember him asking the nurse, get the mineral oil. And she ran out of the room and came back in with mineral oil. And he's been rubbing it, rubbing it, rubbing it on my perineal area. And he was really worried about me tearing. And then he looked up and he said, we're just going to have to do an episiotomy. And it was really nice that he even asked my permission because I hear these horror stories where the doctors don't and they just do it. But he didn't. I'm like, he asked and I said, yes. Like, why would I say no? Yes, do it. And so he did it. And immediately the baby came out. It was just, you know, a swipe of the knife and the baby came out healthy with these purple lips and just making this little lamb cry. It wasn't a whale. It was just the cutest little lamb cry. I'll never forget the sound of it. And they put him on my chest and I was able to nurse him or faux nurse him, you know, because at that point my milk hadn't let down and he was really good at latching. He immediately latched and Eric got to hold him. Eric is, you know, weeping at this point, but he's trying to do it in that adorable male way where he's just like tapping his eye, trying to, you know, hold back the tears. It was very sweet. And I remember this feeling of just awe, you know, I didn't feel that rush of emotion, like I was crying and I just couldn't believe this was my baby. You know, it was that moment where it's like, I was holding this baby and I was like, this is my baby. Like I grew the baby, I had the baby, you know, and now I have to take care of the baby. And just the complexity of that, I remember just being really complex in terms of the emotions, not just a sheer flood of joy, but also fear, you know, and fear of the future and that this helpless creature is in my care at this point. And so then they what was funny is this view, and I'll never forget this scene where I have the baby and Eric is next to me and my mother's on the other side, and it felt like this really wonderful trinity. And then right there in between my legs, beautifully lit up, was my doctor stitching me up, and he would dip down with the needle and thread and then pull it way up high so I could see it, and then dip down and then pull it way up high. And it was the strangest view. I'll never forget that scene. And then he was done, and I had to urinate, something about the process of urinating, like your first urination, you're then able to do something else, you know, eat or walk around. I don't remember what it was, but I went to the bathroom. I think they wanted to make sure your legs could work. And then I laid back down, and they took my child and they were weighing him and, you know, doing various things with him. And so, of course, I wanted to be with them. So I got up out of bed and I walked over to the little weigh station, incubator area, whatever it was. And I remember, you know, I was looking at him and he was adorable. And Eric was touching him in a certain way that he seemed to really enjoy. And then the nurse says, "Oh, you're bleeding," with this adorable kind of sing-songy voice. "Oh, you're bleeding." And I turn around and there was blood from where I was standing to the bed, like someone had taken a bucket and just like thrown it on the floor. And it was my stitches, you know, because I had just been stitched up from the episiotomy. And of course, I probably had other fluids coming out. And I remember thinking, yeah, I am bleeding. And not just in a subtle way, but like in a serious, I am bleeding way. Yeah. And so I had to go lay back down. And, you know, they check things and blood pressure and all the stuff that they do. And at that point, then, I don't know how much time I spent in that room, probably only a few hours. And they moved us to the, I don't know, it was like continuing care room. And I was there for 4 days because of possible infection. There were various reasons, something about blood type that Eric's and my blood type were in opposition. And so so that was a concern. So I was in this aftercare area with August for 4 days. And I was nursing him, and it was really a beautiful time. You know, my mother was there. She had like a cot or a little mattress on the floor, and I had no other concerns in the world. You know, it was just my mother, my baby, and myself there and having this like really intimate time. But I will never forget my complete and absolute fear of going to the bathroom after the labor and delivery and the episiotomy. I was like terrified of going number two, terrified of peeing. I was all of that was really nerve-wracking to me, and I did not feel comfortable getting out of bed and walking around. And I had huge hemorrhoids. Like, when I say huge, I mean like those oversized grapes you can find at Costco sometimes. You know, they're like ridiculously large on, you know, I don't know, steroids, grapes, like that, like gigantic. And I was in such pain. And then when I got home after those 4 days, it was terrible because I couldn't, my baby was a horrible baby. It was like, he was screaming all the time. I'm sure he was a great baby, but he was like crying all the time. And I mean, I adore being around him, but it was, he really only wanted to be held and like walked around and swayed. And I couldn't be on my feet. So I was in, it was this horrible conflict, and my mother was there, thank goodness, and she was helping me out. But I could just kind of like lay on my side. I couldn't sit on my bottom. I couldn't stand up. I remember just being like, when is this going to be over? Can't they just, you know, cut these things off? And they were giving me, you know, like suppository hydrocortisone, whatever that stuff is that they give you. But it's like the last thing you want to be doing is dealing with this, you know, process of healing when you just want to have this kind of like joyful experience after having given birth. And then finally those went away and things got better, thank goodness. But I remember being really surprised by the process. I had planned, I just kind of knew it would go however it went, because my mother had these incredible labor and delivery experiences. She was just made to have babies. You know, she would labor at home for a few hours, and then she would go into the hospital. She would practically have the baby in the waiting room. You know, they had to like rush around, and then she'd push out the baby naturally, and everything went great. And I just sort of knew that wasn't going to be me. You know, her and I were different in ways that told me this was not going to happen. And so then I thought, well, I could at least make an effort, you know. And so I took some hypnobirthing classes. And even during that process of like trying to self-hypnotize, which is just not my personality, I almost stayed in the class because I didn't want to hurt the teacher's feelings. you know, but I was sitting, I'd be trying to self-hypnotize and I'd be just like so hyper aware of everything around me and my body and my breathing. And Eric, on the other hand, would be asleep. You know, he'd self-hypnotize, he'd be asleep within seconds. But yeah, I just knew it wasn't going to work. And so then when all of this happened with the, you know, the water leaking and being induced, I sort of felt like relieved that I didn't have to, you know, set up a audio system of like waves crashing and imagine hold a green ribbon and imagine it being tied and then untied and imagine my cervix opening up like a balloon and just all of this stuff. I just thought that seemed like so much work, you know, when you're just trying to get through the process. So I probably had like the wrong attitude anyway, which is just totally me to have the wrong attitude. And so, but I was kind of relieved. It was like out of my hands in a way that the it really was in their hands. It was in the hands of the doctors and science. And when I started that, when I went in there, and they said I would have to be induced, I looked at him and said, am I going to have to be C-sectioned? Because I don't want to be in labor for 24 hours and then be wheeled into get C-sectioned. And she said, well, let's just try. And I was like, okay. And I was so glad that I tried because I was able to have a vaginal delivery. And if I couldn't hardly deal with the process of healing from hemorrhoids, I couldn't imagine healing from a C-section. So I was really grateful that things had worked out as they had. And I had a healthy boy who's, you know, a good, well-adjusted child at this point. So it all worked out.